for Tuesday, September 21st. It's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky, and for Isaac Davey Aronson with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, Marianne McCune tells us how activists are taking advantage of the abundance of world leaders in the city for the UN General Assembly. And Karen DeWitt has the latest on the standoff between Governor Patterson and state workers over possible layoffs by year end. We'll start with the morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
President Obama is already downplaying an agenda Republicans plan to roll out Thursday. The proposal is said to address jobs, spending, health care, national security, and congressional reform. Obama says the nation has already tried what the GOP is offering. A new agreement could bring thousands of jobs to earthquake-ravaged Haiti. U.S. and Haitian officials signed the agreement Monday with a South Korean clothing manufacturer to build garment factories on the island. Restoring Haiti's once profitable garment sector has been a cornerstone of its economic recovery plans since before the January quake. For the first time, the NYPD has instant access to almost 500 video cameras installed in New York's busiest subway stations. Cameras located at Times Square, Penn Station, and Grand Central are now feeding into a police database, being monitored 24 hours a day. Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says the police can scan recorded footage for particular objects and colors.
If we're looking for a person in a red jacket, we can call up all the red jackets filmed in the last 30 days.
Kelly says the police can also program the system to alert them if a bag is left unattended or when a person walks into a restricted area. The video network now includes about 1,200 video cameras, both public and private. Mayor Bloomberg says the network will eventually grow to include 3,000 cameras. Governor Patterson has signed into law a new bill requiring that all polling sites be accessible to disabled voters by 2012. The law requires that polling places follow the guidelines laid out in the Americans with Disabilities Act. Previously, county boards of elections could obtain temporary waivers that allowed them to delay making polling sites handicap accessible. The new law prevents waivers from being issued in the future. Rima McCoy is at the Center for Independence of the Disabled of New York.
There is still a long way to go, but we are really excited that this first step has been taken and that sites that have been completely thoroughly inaccessible for years and years and years are now no longer going to be that way.
McCoy says poll watchers on primary day recorded numerous barriers to disabled voters, including ramps that were too steep, debris in front of entrances, and missing signs that pointed to handicapped entrances. She says ballot marking devices were often shoved into a corner, which prevented access by wheelchair users. Meanwhile, the City Board of Elections says it will issue a report summarizing the voting problems that occurred during last Tuesday's primaries. A number of national and local Muslim leaders are reiterating their support for Park 51 after a day-long summit on the proposed Islamic Center and the anti-Islamic rhetoric it has unleashed. Nihad Awad, executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, says the summit attendees also spoke with the developers of Park 51.
They're committing to expedite the process of making sure that this project is coherent. It has advisory board from the Muslim community, from the interfaith community, so that this project will reflect America in terms of its spirit and look at the future.
The group is calling on elected officials to denounce anti-Muslim speech. It also announced a week of dialogue between October 22nd and 24th, during which non-Muslims will be invited to visit mosques, and Muslims will be encouraged to attend other houses of worship. Governor Patterson has vetoed a bill that would increase penalties for those convicted of assaulting a cab driver. Queens Assemblyman Rory Lantzman, the author of the bill, says it's difficult to believe the governor rejected the Taxi Drivers Protection Act, which had near unanimous support in both houses of the legislature.
We've spent the last 6 months to get legislation that will protect these drivers, and it's just very disappointing that the governor has now vetoed that legislation, frankly, on very flimsy grounds.
Governor Patterson says he vetoed the bill because it imposed a mandatory 2-year sentence for less serious misdemeanor-level assault. In New York, misdemeanor convictions can only receive sentences up to 1 year. Lantzman says he's confident the legislature will override the governor's veto or pass another similar bill. Less than a month ago, a Muslim cab driver was assaulted in an alleged hate crime. Meanwhile, another veto by Governor Patterson brought AIDS activists to his Manhattan headquarters Monday. The bill would have helped low-income tenants living with HIV and AIDS pay their rent. Over the weekend, Patterson called it the hardest veto he's ever issued, but said the state could not afford the $20 million annual cost of the program. The protesters want state lawmakers to override that veto. The bill would cap the amount renters pay at 30% of their income, the same as other groups with housing assistance. Charles King is the president of Housing Works, an AIDS services organization. He says people often spend 70% or more of their fixed income on rent.
People in that circumstance are generally left to live on something like $11, $12 a day. That's covering their utilities, their food, their laundry, their transportation, anything that they might possibly need. They've got to be able to do that on $12 a day.
The assembly sponsor of the bill, Deborah Glick, says she'll meet with the Senate sponsors to decide whether to pursue a vote to override the veto. Currently, there are about 10,000 people in the city living with HIV or AIDS that would qualify for the rent cap. And finally, Lindsay Lohan and E-Trade have resolved their spat over a spot about a milkaholic baby, coincidentally named Lindsay. Lohan had filed a $100 million lawsuit over the Super Bowl commercial. An E-Trade spokeswoman said the resolution marked a business decision for the New York-based firm, but she wouldn't comment on the terms. Meanwhile, Lohan has her next day in court Friday after she admitted to failing a random drug test. She could get 30 days in jail for the probation violation. Taking a look at today's calendar, new home construction numbers are out this morning, and this afternoon the Federal Reserve makes a new interest rate announcement. No one expects it to budge from near zero, but the Fed could announce that it will lower the interest rate it pays banks to keep money with the Fed. That could lead to more bank lending to stimulate the economy. Senate Democrats will try to break a filibuster that would lead to a vote on the bill to repeal the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Meanwhile, Lady Gaga is publicly lobbying Maine's two moderate Republican senators to break with their party and allow the repeal bill to move forward. And Secretary of State Clinton will announce the Global Alliance for Clean Cook Stoves, a new public-private initiative to create a thriving global market for clean and efficient household cooking solutions that will save lives, improve livelihoods, empower women, and combat climate change. Just some of what's happening this Tuesday. The largest union representing New York State employees is pushing back against Governor Patterson's threat to lay off state workers before the end of the year. From Albany, Karen DeWitt reports.
Governor Patterson says that not enough state employees have opted into an early retirement plan, and he will have to enact layoffs of workers before his term ends on December 31st. The governor has been threatening layoffs for months. Now the Civil Service Employees Association has filed a grievance with the Public Employment Relations Board. The union says Patterson's top aide signed a memo with union leaders saying there would be no layoffs in calendar year 2010. It was in exchange for an agreement to begin a new lower benefit tier for newly hired employees. The union claims the layoff threats are a violation of the state's Taylor Law. A spokesman for Patterson says the grievance filing does not change our course of action in any way. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
With world leaders descending on New York for the UN General Assembly, events have been planned to get their attention, and of course, the media's. They range from protests and rallies to drum circles and art exhibits. As WNYC's Marianne McCune tells us, these advocates don't want to waste a good opportunity.
All these grassroots groups have the chance to try to get attention for their perspectives on the issues. So while President Obama prepares to meet Friday with the UN Security Council on Sudan and the possible split between the North and the South in January, people concerned about the conflict in Darfur are pushing to make sure that part of Sudan doesn't take back seat. And the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran wants to make sure nuclear issues in Iran don't overshadow human rights abuses. They've put out a guide for the media on interviewing the often evasive President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, advising reporters to ask yes or no questions and follow up with facts.
WNYC's Marianne McCune. Meanwhile, across town, the Clinton Global Initiative gets going this morning. Among today's guests, the CEO of Google, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Hollywood actress and activist Ashley Judd. The idea is to bring together people with power and people with ideas and get everyone to commit to solving a global problem.
Keep my ashes to myself because it's secret, because it's secret, crack, crack.
We'll wrap it up with today's Gig Alert. For those of you who came of age in the 1990s, this poppy crooning may sound familiar. It's Stephen Malkmus, the lead singer of Pavement. After an 11-year break, the band's back together, performing on a globe-trotting reunion tour. Pavement plays tonight through Friday in Central Park. You can download this track, Gold Sounds, at our Culture page. Just click on Culture at WNYC.org.
So drunk in the August sun, and you're the kind of girl I like because you're
in. You can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in-depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great day.